अखण्डमण्डलाकारं व्याप्तं येन चराचरं यत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
You go to the divine promise, the first slide. So this is where we will again start, because when we are talking about the synthesis of yoga, we forget why actually this integral yoga and the synthesis of yoga was needed. This is the cause. I am rising up this nation to send forth my word. It is for the world and not for themselves that they arise. This is the thing which we should remember. When we become a doctor or when we become an engineer, that education we use it so that we may serve the society. You don't become an engineer for your own sake. You don't become a doctor for your own sake. But because you do something with that knowledge to the society, you get respect in the society and also you make the society. Similarly, before Sri Aurobindo, spiritualism was supposed to be different from the normal way of life. If you are spiritual, people thought that you are out. You are not useful to the society. But what Sri Aurobindo and his contemporaries, that is where the group comes in. The leader was no doubt it was Sri Aurobindo. But many streams joined to make the ocean that is Sri Aurobindo. And that is for the world and not for themselves that they arise. So whether we talk about Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa of Madame Blavatsky, Lahiri Mahashaya, that is the Kriya Yoga technique of breathing, whether you talk about Shirdi Sai and Chhatri Sai, whether you talk about Gayatri Parivar, all this is not for themselves that they arise. It is not that they want to achieve something higher individually that we are practicing this yoga. This yoga must become the civilization of the coming generation. Coming generation means our children. Very specifically, it is mentioned in Nostradamus' prediction that those who are born after February 5th, 1962 belong to the new race. I don't know what is meant by that statement, but on that day it was Astagraha Kutami, a very astrologically powerful day. So the 5th February 1962 is the date assigned. Those who are born from that day onwards are automatically the people of the new era. This is what we should understand, and I am giving them freedom for the service of the world. Giving them means the Indians. And when we speak about Bharat, you always remember we are talking about a way of thinking. We are not talking about where you are living. Because Our present day society is certainly not Bharat. Almost our every way of thinking is westernized. Our dressing is westernized. Our food habits are westernized. So when people talk about Bharat and what I am giving them freedom for the service of the world, it means those who are engrossed or have enthusiasm in divine life. Bha means life, Rata means liking it. So this is the purpose for which 1 year of Sri Aurobindo's ashram sadhana, it is not a jail, for him it was an ashram, and for us ashram becomes a jail. Probably we are, what I should say, complementary to Sri Aurobindo. In that way, Aurobindo could make a ashram out of jail, and probably for us the ashram is a jail, probably. Anyway, this we should always remember. We are doing this sadhana. We are trying to read and understand and practice the integral yoga, of which this synthesis of yoga and life divine are two parts which culminate in Savitri. So, though we are talking about three different books, actually they are one in three. All are interrelated to each other. The next slide. This seven chord being is what we should always remember. Because the first is the physical being. The second is the vital being. Third is the mental being. The next four we need not study now about them. And when we use the sevenfold card of being, next slide, this one, existence, conscious force, bliss, supermind, are those levels about which we do not know anything, but which controls our mind, psyche, life and matter. This aspect you should remember. When we are talking about matter, it is actually the existence which is molding the matter. In what way? In the fag end of life divine you will understand it. How actually the matter is nothing but the opposite pole of existence. If existence is the north pole, matter is the south pole. You just can't divide them. To understand it, we are dividing it as existence and matter. But wherever there is a matter, there is an existence. And wherever there is an existence, there is matter. Similarly, where there is a consciousness acting as a force, you have life. But what we term as life is not actually conscious force, but it is desire and mind working together. The desire mind, what we call, Sri Aurobindo calls it, the desire mind, the pranamaya kosha. So actually the desire mind is consciousness force. Mind is the consciousness and desire is the force. In higher levels, we call it as consciousness force. In lower levels, we call it as life, which is nothing but desire mixed with mind, or mind mixed with desire. So when we talk about life, we should remember that it is more a mixture of desire and lesser mind. When we talk about psyche, it is more mind and less desire. And of course mind is pure mind. These levels and concepts must be very clear in our mind. Existence controls matter. Consciousness force controls life. Bliss controls psyche. Supermind controls mind. And once this becomes this, That means matter, life, psyche and mind. That is we. We have a mind. We have a psychic being. Of course we have life. And then the matter. When this becomes an instrument in the hand of supermind, then the real synthesis of yoga occurs. So the real synthesis is matter must first be controlled by desire mind. That happens to us now. The physical body, actually we are not worried about the physical body. Are you aware of your physical body? Except when there is some trouble with it. If not, we are always worried about the desire. If the desire is fulfilled, you are happy. If the desire is not fulfilled, you are unhappy. And for a desire to be fulfilled, you can go to any length of torture. So the physical body is only an instrument of the desire mind. That is life. That is the present stage of our awareness. Here we are centered. Whatever it is, even though we may be talking about supermind, actually we are centered in the desire to understand supermind. And from supermind, when you come down to the mind, psyche and life, at present our physical bodies are controlled by life. Sri Aurobindo calls it as the vital body. Vitality and life are almost synonymous. And now, this desire mind must be controlled by the psyche. And it must be controlled by the mind. Now I would like to give the traditional names, the Sanskrit names for us. And Sri Aurobindo also says it is better to use the Sanskrit words if you understand it. That these words do not clearly represent our ideas of the Sanskrit words. So matter becomes the sthula sharira, the annamaya kosha. Life becomes the pranamaya kosha. The psyche is the consciousness of being alive, what is known as the vyaktitva, the personality. So psyche is your personality. And technically your personality is made up of three different aspects. The physical body, the emotions and the thoughts. So psyche is the center for these three units. For matter and the physical body, for our actions, for our emotions and for our thoughts. And this mind is with a capital M. You remember that. This mind is not the thought process itself, but it is the source of the thought, citta. Yogaha citta vritti nirodha. So this mind, we will call it as citta. Wherever there is a capital M in this book, you always try to understand citta. And you should understand the difference between thoughts and citta. Thoughts are just what you think. They may be fleeting. But citta vrittis are not fleeting. An engineer thinks like an engineer. So his citta vritti is to think like an engineer. A doctor thinks like a doctor. So his citta vritti is to think like a doctor. Now what Sri Aurobindo wants us to think like a yogi. Our citta vritti must become the citta vritti of a yogi. You understand the difference between thought and citta vritti? Thought is manas. Citta vritti is an attitude of the mind. It is always things like that. For example, in human beings we have the male and female. The male has a citta vritti of a male. A female has a citta vritti of a female. So wherever they are, the vritti is always the standard one. Could I make the difference between thought and vritti clear? So thought is manas, psyche is mind, small m. And capital M is chitta. So if you use the Vedantic language or the yogic language, matter becomes the annamaya kosha, life becomes the pranamaya kosha, psyche becomes the lower mind, and M, the capital mind, becomes the higher mind, manas and chitta. Am I clear about these aspects? So this is annamaya, pranamaya, lower mind and higher mind. That means manas and chitta. And this super mind, you can call it as ahankara. You can, but actually it is not ahankara. Because when the ego sense is gone, then only the super mind comes in. And ahankara is ego sense. So you can say that between super mind and chitta lies the ahankara. With this definition, we go to the just go to the slides, sir. In the first chapter of the conditions for synthesis, the first condition is all life is yoga. Page number 8. This is the chitta vritti of the yogi. Just as an engineer is always an engineer, a doctor is always a doctor, whether he is eating or tripping or sleeping or going to a movie. Technically, his chitta vritti is that of a doctor. And whenever you want him to behave like a doctor, he immediately behaves like a doctor, whatever he is doing. Similarly, in the first chapter of the basics, Sri Aurobindo says, you should have a mindset. When I say a mindset, I mean the capital M, chitta vritti. Must be all life is yoga. This you remember. And when I say all life is yoga, even when you put these two fingers together, becomes a mudra. It is just an accidental movement of the fingers. But if you are a yogi, this movement means that you are imparting knowledge. And mind you, we Indians believe in it. This chin mudra, mauna vyakya, prakatita parabrahma tattvam. Parabrahma tattvam is satchitananda. Here we have the existence, conscious life, and bliss. You remember? That is parabrahma tattvam. And that parabrahma tattvam you can understand just by mixing these two. So all life is yoga. So, for the Aurobindo's synthesis of yoga, this concept is very important. You move the hand, this movement of the hand is occurring in akhanda mandalakaram vyaptam yena characharam yat padam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave. So this concept, that whatever you are doing is a part of the cosmos, the cosmic mind. We are unconscious instruments of the conscious mind. Cosmic mind. We should become conscious instruments of the cosmic mind. That is, all life is yoga. Everything, if I put it here, I should know what is happening when I am putting it here. What type of changes are being brought about when this particular physical object is placed by me here. The important aspect is by me. I am placing it here. Are you conscious of it? For many of our actions, we are not conscious. And when you become conscious of every action, even in your sleep, it is said that Lord Buddha was once sleeping and Ananda was with him, his elder brother, cousin elder brother. And the Buddha was sleeping like that, and some mosquito disturbed him, and he just did it like this. Then after some time he got up and sat, and then he slowly did it like this, and then he slept. Then Ananda asked, why are you doing that? Because I unconsciously pushed off the mosquito. You understand the importance of in a small action that you are doing, even in sleep, must be with awareness. And that is Buddhahood. So all life is yoga. You got the point, you understood it? Everything, if you stretch your legs, if you sit in a particular posture, even that is yoga, and that is the importance of asanas. When you sit in a particular asana, Patanjali says, you get touch with infinity. I am not able to remember the exact sutra. But what he means in that sutra is, if you sit in a particular posture, and you can sit in that posture for 3 hours, you get siddhi. In any posture, if you can sit continuously for 3 hours. Probably that is where the cinema halls play a very important role. Because knowingly or unknowingly you will sit for 3 hours. So maybe they are training us in asanas. In integral yoga it may be a fact also. Then we come to the 3 steps in nature. We go to the last page. Page 19. Probably this is where we were yesterday. We perceive then, you see the book, we perceive then these 3 steps in nature, a bodily life, which is the basis of our existence here in the material world, a mental life into which we emerge and by which we raise the bodily to higher uses and enlarge it into a greater completeness, and a divine existence which is at once the goal of the other two and returns upon them to liberate them into their highest possibilities. So you remember these 3 steps always they happen. The first step is nature has perfected some instruments. What are the instruments? The Annamaya Kosha and Pranamaya Kosha. They are completely perfected. That is what Sri Aurobindo says in the Upanishads, the lots were shown first the cow and then the horse. And now you should understand what Sri Aurobindo in Savitri meant by Ashwapati Yoga. Ashwapati Yoga is a control of Annamaya and Pranamaya Koshas. We have the Annamaya Pranamaya Koshas, they are not in our control now. But nature has already perfected them. You understand this point. When Sri Aurobindo says it is perfected, it does not mean that we have perfected it. Nature has perfected it for us. We have a fully grown, well-tuned Annamaya Kosha. We will use the Vedic literature and yogic literature. We will not go for the... You understand, I don't want to use the English words, the bodily and the vital. Because even Sri Aurobindo was very clear that yogic terminology must be used because they have a greater thought value. Later we will talk about the thought value. So the Annamaya and the Pranamaya. The Pranamaya Kosha is actually our nervous body. Why nervous body? The nerves react first to desire or mind. It is your nerves that react to desire or mind. And when the nerves react properly, the Annamaya Kosha becomes a helpless tool of the nervous body. Now you understand the nature of the instrument. This Annamaya Kosha is an instrument for the Pranamaya Kosha. And an instrument has no right to decide what it likes and what it dislikes. it should become a tool in the hands of the one who wants to use the tool. So when Sri Aurobindo talks about two things, the entire integral yoga can be summed up in only two words, aspiration and surrender. Aspiration goes from the tool, and the surrender comes to the tool. You understand? The tool aspires to be used by the higher level. So the Annamaya Kosha becomes a tool of the Pranamaya Kosha, that is the surrender of Annamaya Kosha to Pranamaya Kosha. Modern society has mastered this aspect, this surrender. The physical body can go to any length if that proper desire is there. When you say desire, it means the Pranamaya Kosha. Next, what is now being developed is the mental body. The mental body is in three levels. The material mind, which we have full control. The material mind, or we can say the animal mind, ahara, nidra, bhaya, maidhunancha, we are experts. All animals are experts. But in yoga, these have to be first controlled. Your food must be controlled. Yuktahara. The Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter says, Yuktahara viharasya yukta chetasya karmasu yukta swapna avabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. And remember, for us all life is yoga. Don't forget about this aspect. We are tuning ourselves to that way of thinking. And when will the yoga make you free from troubles, from sorrows? You have to have yuktahara. Yuktahara doesn't mean mitahara. You remember this. In many ashramas, especially in spiritual resorts, they think that eating less is yogic way of life. Eating less is not yogic way of life. Eating what is required is the yogic way of life. Then what you are supposed to know? You are supposed to know how the food influences your thoughts. That is yogic way of eating. And the present way of eating, do you think it is yogic way of eating? You should know that Ayurveda says that onion is almost like a mother. But spiritualists say that onion is tamasic in nature, don't eat it. So if you want to become a yogi, you should not touch onion. But if you want to get health, you eat more onions. And health, what we mean by health nowadays is physical health. We have forgotten that our mind and desires are highly diseased. So yuktahara, you understand? So when we say ahara, just as food is ahara for the Annamaya Kosha, thoughts and desires are ahara for the Pranamaya Kosha. So you should know the correct thoughts which you should allow, correct desires which we should allow. Then what happens when you allow correct desires and correct thoughts? Your vihara and chesta change. What is vihara? The time you spend to waste. Vihara yatra antam kada? Vihara yatra ante artham enti? When you go to a vihara, that means you are ready to waste your time. But actually, in yogic literature, vihara yatra means tirtha yatra. And what is the Tirtha? Where you take off. And God only knows where we are taking off with all these Tirtha Yatras. We have to correct it. But this is not the time to think about Tirtha Yatras. But you remember I am talking about Viharas. That means where you are spending money in going out using your physical body without any benefit. You just enjoy it. That is Vihara. Yukta Hara Vihara. You should not go. I could make you understand what Vihara is. All of you followed what Vihara is. Vihara means going for an outing. Just as software engineers go for an outing on Saturday and Sunday because they have no chesta to do. Chesta means the effort you are putting in. Vihara means you are not putting any effort, but you are enjoying the movement of the koshas. So yuktahara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu. Chesta means your work, what you are doing to earn your livelihood. And nobody likes whatever he does for his livelihood, however interesting it may be. Therefore it becomes an effort. Chesta yukta chestasya karmasu. Then yukta swapna avabodhasya. This swapna, this is what is being now developed in our mental body. Our material body, which eats, goes for vihara and has a nature of doing chesta, is under our control. But the dream mind is not in our control. And after the dream mind, you have the sushupti, the sleeping mind. Now you understand the three levels of mind which we have to face. The material mind, then the knowledgeable mind which dreams, and of course the divine mind. This is what nature is perfecting. So at present, the highest offshoot in nature is mind control. And mind control is nothing but science. Science actually means what you get from the five senses is tabulized. That is science. So the present day scientific age, we think, is the highest level to which humanity has gone. But Sri Aurobindo says, if in nature the three steps are perfection, then a higher perfection and modification, and then going to some higher level and modify it. So now what is mind doing? It has concretized it as a material mind. You try to understand what we mean by this material mind. Then only we can understand the scientific mind. And then we can understand what the real capital M mind is going to do. And when these three are gone, are perfected in nature, what happens? The supramental descent happens. So the evolution continues. From the three levels of mind, we again have a material supermind, a knowledgeable supermind, and then a divine supermind. These are the three steps of nature which we can't avoid. We have to understand them. Right? Next. There are threefold life. We'll go to page 30. Threefold life among. The bodily life, the mental existence, the veiled spiritual being. Page 20, first line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth line. Actually, you got it? All of you? So, our activities depend on these three. The bodily life, we have perfected it. The mental existence is being perfected. And then, the veiled spiritual being, which is in the involution, is the cause of the others, and in the evolution, their result. This bodily life, all of us have perfected. Remember this, when I say all of us, we mean the entire humanity. And now what is happening to the entire humanity? It is mind is being perfected. And Sri Aurobindo later says that almost the entire humanity's mind has reached the overmind in some previous era. Technically, some 5000 years back, the entire humanity was able to reach the overmind level. But then again, the recoil happened because of some defect in the mental body. It couldn't go to the supramental level. It went back again to the material level, and even now, today, it is the material mind which controls all our actions. Even now, it is the bodily happiness, it is the desire fulfillment which dominates our life, even in spiritualism also. If we do this, what benefits you get? Many people ask me, if you are doing this and you get some suffering, then why should I do this? And when you read, are you not suffering? Are not the parents suffering to pay the fees and the students suffering to read it? Got the point? Next slide. Now, in page 29, last paragraph. This is important. This you always remember. What nature gets as her result in thousands of years, you can get it in few months. And when I say few months, it means less than a year. Because 12 months make a year. So if I want to say more than 12 months, I should say few years. But Vivekananda says, in few months, it means the entire process of nature's evolution, you can compress it into less than a year. And that is why we call a new year, a new era, Ugadi. It has a meaning. If you can compress in 1 year's lifetime, thousands of years of evolution, then you can say it is a Ugadi. If not, what you should say? New Year. You can't say it as a Ugadi. It works by quickening all her energies, a sublimation of all her faculties, and as the mental life uses and perfects the material, so will the spiritual use and perfect the material and mental existence as the instruments of a divine self-expression. Here you have, in one short sentence, the entire effort we have to do. First is, make the evolution fast. That is what is there. What nature aims at for the mass in a slow evolution, yoga affects for the individual by a rapid evolution. And you remember, whenever you understand certain laws of nature, you become the master of that particular nature. If you understand the laws of steam, you become the master of the energy called steam. If you understand the laws of electricity, what happens? You become the master of electricity. So if you know the properties and protect the properties, you become the master. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. It is not the religion what is meant there. It is mean the properties. Dharma means properties. What in chemistry we say, the rasayanika dharmas and the bhautika dharmas. Their dharma doesn't mean religion. a chemical religion and a physical religion. It means the properties. So here, you should quicken the properties of, properties means dharma, the properties of mental life. And once you know the dharma of mental life in evolution, you change over to the spiritual use. Just as the mind is using the physical body, the divine spiritual power will use the mental existence. Now you understand, we are now servants of the mind. We are tortured by the mind. But if you can understand the laws of the mind, what happens? Your mind becomes an instrument to the divine. And just as the mental life is using the physical body, and when I say the physical body, I mean the Annamaya and Pranamaya Kosha together. The mind is one level, and then the Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Kosha together is called the Karana Sharira. So we remember this as the Sula Sharira, and the mental life is Sushma Sharira, and the Vijnanamaya Anandamaya Koshas as Karana Sharira. Remember this terminology. We will use it more when we go into the further chapters. So when we call it Sthula Sharira, it is two bodies in one, Annamaya and Pranamaya. And when we call Sushma Sharira, it is the mental body. The mental body has three levels: the perfected mind, the animal mind, the developing mind, the scientific mind, and then you have the divine mind. And what will the divine mind do? It will become an instrument of the divine. Right? Next, the systems of yoga, chapter 4. And now, just a few minutes back, we were defining yoga as speeding up of evolution. You remember this. And speeding up of evolution means thousands of years compressed in a few months' time. And that miracle always happens in the mother's womb. The 9 months, that consciousness which grows in the mother's womb compresses all the evolution right from the Satya Yuga to the present day Yuga in those 9 months. And that is where it is very important for us to understand what happens in a mother's womb. If you can make it happen in the 9 months in your yoga practice, you will get reborn. That is what is known as dvijatva. So that much of compression of evolution, future evolution, the mind, to evolve into a over mind, it takes thousands of years from now. But what you can do in a few months' time, and exactly if you know how to do it, the Navaratris are very important. Every day you can compress the evolution of thousands of years in one day. How to do it? We will learn it. This is what I want you to understand. For this compression to happen, you should understand God, nature, and human soul. These three are the essential, what Sri Aurobindo says, three consenting parties. All the three must say yes. The human soul must say yes. The nature must say yes. And the divine power must say yes. This, and how to do it in 12 months' time, is what Bhagavata is. Yesterday I was telling you about Sri Krishna's life and the evolution of his life through various steps to overmind. So that is the bhakta, the bhakta is evolving. Because of the Bhagavan, through the knowledge of Bhagavata. So Bhagavata is nature. Of course, Bhagavan is God and Bhakta is the human soul. And this life is directly linked with Mahabharata. Whenever you talk about Sri Krishna, you are forced to think of Mahabharata. But our mental attitude has become so dangerously strife-ridden that when we talk about Ramayana, we have Rama Ramana Yuddha. And when we talk about Mahabharata, we have the Kaurava Pandava Yuddha. The Yuddha is not important. It was the starting point. After Rama Ramana Yuddha, the Ramarajya establishment is more important. After the Pandavas and Kauravas war, the establishment of Mahabharata is very important. Bharata to Mahabharata. What Mother says as Akhanda Bharat is Mahabharat. It is only a change in the terminology. Because whenever there is Mahatvam, there is a continuity. You always remember the great man, is it not? Their Kirti. Kirti Shesha, we say, somebody who has left the body. And when you say Kirti Shesha, what does it mean? He is a great man. Maha means great. Mahabharata, great India. So this Mahabharata is the goal of Sri Aurobindo's yoga, you remember it. What he has left unfinished 5000 years ago, because of the recoiling effect in nature, instead of Arjuna going from over mind to higher mind, the seed is there, sarvadharmam parityajya, mam ekam charanam vraja, aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha, is the guarantee of the supermind. But he recoiled. Because there was a defect. He said, no, I won't fight. And just that simple word, I can't fight, has made the entire humanity to go back. See the danger of not acting properly where and when you should. That single step of Arjuna has completely disturbed the divine plan. And then many people ask me, how can a divine plan be disturbed? It is not the divine plan that is disturbed. The divine plan is very clear in the supramental level. It will happen as it should. You and I are time-born. We are interested in time. For us, the time factor comes. For the overmind and higher than overmind, there is no time factor. Ajopisan, Avyayatma, Bhutanam Isharopisan, Prakrutim Swam Adhishtaya, Sambhavame, Atma Mayaya. The very peculiar word there is used is not Maya, Atma Maya. So you are in this particular body-mind existence, because of your own Maya, Atma Maya. And how you can come out of it? By yourself only. Maneva Manishyana Karanam Bandha Mokshayo. So this you understand, one wrong statement of word may send you back in evolution. And God only knows how we are utilizing our what power. We human beings are the only pranis who have the power to speak. Neither the devas nor the animals can speak. Devas also can't speak. They can see. And we can't see, we speak. That's the problem. If you can speak and see, that is what is known in Vedic literature as darshana, mantra, drashta. The seeds spoke the word and saw the word. Mantra, drashta. Mantra is a sound. Drashta is a vision. That is where the overmind level is felt, when the world is seen. This is exactly what to Purani Sri Aurobindo said, "I guarantee that India will have its freedom within few years." He saw it. He uttered it. You understand now? Mantra and drashta. Mantra is the utterance that India will be freed. When? Soon. And within few years, it happened. Mantra and drashta. So Bhagavan, Bhagavat and Bhakta. And where do you see? In nature you see. The result of the seed and the walk, where is it seen? It is seen in nature. So this triad is what the basis of Indian yoga is. Yes? No, you sit and tell, it's okay. Be formal. No, it is like a chief minister deciding something and a family man deciding something. If a chief minister decides something, the entire state is gone. They were fighting for Mahabharata. You got the point? It is not because of the emotion, because of the role he has to play. And what is our role now? The same role as of that of Arjuna, that of Pandavas. And now we are given a higher level, supramental descent, not overmind descent. Because nature evolves, it won't stop because Arjuna said no. But are we saying yes? You say yes, but do you understand the vastness of work you have to do when you say yes to this supramental descent? You will get Mahabharata. That is why I always say, can we understand Sri Aurobindo as Sri Krishna, as a representative of our mind, coming again, working for Mahabharata, getting the Mahabharata and going to the next stage of supermind? This is what we should concentrate when you read this yoga. That is the synthesis. The real synthesis of 5,000 years of evolution. And mind you, few months is enough, and I am saying 2011 is the target date. Because when Sri Aurobindo said that August 15th was India's Day of Freedom and it is not a coincidence, that means India would have gotten in any year the independence only on August 15th. It has become 1947 or 48 or 50 or 2007, that time is not important. You are understanding what I am telling? Similarly, this year, 2011, will see the supramental descent and thereby the Akhanda Bharat. And what is Akhanda Bharat? Every human mind accepting the Bhagavat through Bhagavan and Bhakta, if you use our Indian word. And if you want to utilize the Greek literature words in English, God, nature and humans. So you remember this urgency with which we have to work. And when you want to work, when you want to fight something, you should have the knowledge. So if you want the supramental descent to happen, we should have a group where it is possible to descend. A group of engineers can't work to get a cure for cancer. Suppose you have a group of Nobel Prize winners in the field of engineering. And because they are Nobel Prize winners, you say, and please do some research and get medicine for cancer. Can they get it? So this is what is important. The Gita way of life. In the next coming section, 18 chapters Sri Aurobindo has given to explain the difference and the reference in Gita for overmind and supermind. He explained the overmind factor and then he gave the supermind factor. So it is Gita stretched. Integral yoga, you can say it is Gita stretched. In that way, every science is a stretching from the past. Is it? So you can say this as the only scientific religion which will continue forever. All these religions in this present shape have no value. Because you can't be an ideal Hindu as per the traditions of Hinduism because they are time worn. Now they have no creditability. The mind has evolved, but the dharma has not evolved. But it has evolved. So this is going to be the future dharma. And whoever practices this is a citizen of Mahabharata. So this Mahabharata is not a physical concept. Are we really Indians? And for that matter, anyone who professes to be of some particular religion, does he really belong to that religion? You understand that question? Is a Muslim a real Muslim? Is a Christian a real Christian? He professes it because of some other things, some other needs. But we don't follow the Christian way of life, the Islamic way of life, and certainly the Hindu way of life. We are not following it. Because the mind has outgrown that shell and the religion has to grow. The religion has grown from Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. The shift changes. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, for every individual mind, every individual man, there is a separate religion. What is that he said in Yato Mata, Tato Dharma, or something like that he said. So every individual has to follow his own dharma. And what does Sri Aurobindo say? In the end, the integral yoga becomes your personal yoga. You just can't have a shastra for it. You can't say you should behave like this, you should behave like that. The only thing you should behave is, it should be motivated not from material causes, but for divine causes. If the divine motivates you, it is the new religion, the coming religion, the future religion, the religion of the Mahabharata, or the scientific religion, the only religion which will rule mankind. Today, I am almost going to finish up to 200 pages. Because the coming 200 pages, the gist I have already given. Now I will show you the slide and say this is that. So be prepared for a mega dose. Sri Aurobindo is giving the conditions of the synthesis. The most important part in integral yoga is an understanding that you have to go step by step. Until and unless you finish the lower rung, you cannot go to the higher rung. Yesterday, I have given you the warnings. Where we talk about the evolution as a zip file. You know, in the modern, in zip file doesn't mean that you are stepping over some unnecessary details. In science, there is no unnecessary detail. You have to know every step, cross each step. The thing you can do, you can compress it. So, I am taking such a long time for the introduction is, we are not aware of what actually the synthesis is meaning, the meaning of synthesis. The real meaning of synthesis is existence expressing itself in matter. You should know that matter is expressing existence. You know what I mean by existence? The Sat. I have given you the 8. You are remembering that? Sat, consciousness force, Chit, Anand, then supermind, then M, capital M mind, then the psych, then the life, and then the matter. You should be very clear that this is being synthesized. Slowly life is controlling matter. Slowly psych is controlling matter and life. Slowly mind is controlling psych, life and matter. And now the super mind has to control the mind, psych, life and matter. And if you miss any of these steps, it is no integral yoga. And that is why I am stressing so much about the downfall. What we are now witnessing is not an evolution but a recoiling effect, where because of a defect, and what is that defect? Arjuna says, Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava pruchhamitvam dharma sammoodaketa echreyasya nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadhimantam prapannam. Many people don't understand here the word shishya. Shishya means you should be prepared to take a beating when you go wrong. Shikha. Shikha ante shikshinchatam. Shikha ante education kuda. So are you prepared to take a beating if you go wrong? Shishyasteham shadhimantam prapannam. So what exactly we mean by the integration, the synthesis? This is very important than going to the higher levels of the chapters, because until and unless we are very clear about our goals, the nature of work we are doing will not go towards the goal. The scientists have a very clear cut goal. For example, they want to develop medicine for cancer. Do they know it? They don't know it. Do they know how to go to get a medicine for cancer? They don't know it. But what do they know? They know the past technical aspects of going towards the goal. They synthesize those techniques and reach the goal. Am I clear? So this synthesis of 3 yogas and the 4th one, the yoga of work, that is karma yoga, the yoga of devotion, that is bhakti yoga, and the yoga of knowledge, must be synthesized with Raja yoga. So that in simple is the essence of the synthesis of yoga. 3 are synthesized. The yoga of work, karma yoga, which we do by the physical body. Then the yoga of bhakti, which we do by heart. And then the yoga of knowledge, jnana, by heart. Sorry, by brain. So by brain, by heart, by action. And these are supposed to be yoga. And what is yoga? Highly tremendous speed in evolution is yoga. So always remember it. So if bhakti can't you to the pinnacle, can't take you to the pinnacles, it is not a yoga. If jnana cannot take you to the pinnacles of evolution, you understand, I don't mean about the physical level pinnacles. So you should be very clear of what evolution means. And what is evolution? The 4 levels of mind surrendering to supermind. That is what we are supposed to do. Have this in very clear. The higher mind, the illumined mind, the intuitive mind, the overmind must surrender themselves to the supermind. And these four, jnana, bhakti, karma and raja, raja yoga, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, these four are the four levels of the mind. And with these four levels of yoga, and what do you mean by yoga? Perfection in evolution. So you should know, when you have finished your evolution in higher mind, where you have finished your evolution in illumined mind, where you have finished your evolution in intuitive mind, where you have finished your evolution in overmind. And now you synthesize these four. And these four are the four yogas. Karma, bhakti, jnana, raja. This is the synthesis of yoga. These four yogas are synthesized. But when I say synthesize, each yoga has got its own level to be reached. And there it stops. Everything stops. Even supermind has its own level, because Sri Aurobindo very clearly mentions, if beyond mind there is a supermind, naturally when you reach the supermind, there will be something else to go. Let us not worry about that. But what is the guarantee that this synthesized yoga of four levels, the yoga of work, utilizing the physical body, the yoga of bhakti, utilizing the desire body, the yoga of knowledge, utilizing the mind, and the synthesis of these three, the overmind, utilizing Raja Yoga. So this is in a sense the entire process. But please try to understand that until and unless you know where each particular yoga can lead you, you cannot integrate them. And not only that, you have to practice them also. Just knowledge is not enough. Knowing E is equal to MC square releases the power of the atom is not enough. You have to do it. The physical aspect, bringing the atoms together to the critical mass, is karma yoga. And now why do you want to use it? That is the heart. That is bhakti yoga. Why do you want it? To stop Hitler or to become a Hitler? You understand now? There is also the bhakti yoga. And then the bhakti is not enough. I want to stop Hitler. I should have a nuclear power is not enough. You should have the jnana yoga. You should know how to manufacture a bomb. And after that, you should have the right spirit, right mental motive, Raja Yoga, to utilize it. So all life is yoga. Even moving a chair, you can put all these four there. Next. Page 34. You can directly see there, and I can explain without your going through the book, so that it will be a bit faster. Later you can just refer it. Asana and pranayama are the basis of Hatha Yoga. And Hatha Yoga is nothing but a process of Kundalini Yoga. And Kundalini Yoga is nothing but material force. What in atom is the nuclear power, in human body is Kundalini power. And that is controlled by asana and pranayama. So the Kundalini yoga is highly essential for karma yoga. Hatha yoga attains large results but at an exorbitant price and to a very little purpose. Here we should be careful. Don't be enamored of Hatha yoga by the miracles you see. A Hatha yogi can control his heartbeats. But now the heartbeat for us is controlled by the sympathetic system by the brain. You need not know it. The subconscious mind controls it. The food is digested automatically. So there are certain unconscious behavior of ourselves which Hatha Yoga can make you control. But you need not practice those, because already nature has developed it into such a way that the heart control is not your mental issue now. It has become a subliminal, subconscious. So Hatha Yoga, if you try to practice Hatha Yoga for 12 years or 13 years, you can know how to control this heartbeats and go into the earth, into Samadhi for 12 years or so. So Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gave a very beautiful example of that. A yogi came to him saying that he can walk in water. He said, show me. So he crossed the river Ganges from that side to this side. Then it seems Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gave him four anas and said that this is the value. Because you give four anas at that time and you can cross the river. And for that, the exorbitant price for a little purpose. But what do we want as a practitioners of synthesis of yoga is to make our body free so that you can utilize the kundalini currents in the perfect direction. This you must learn. And without learning this, there is no integral yoga. You remember that. Why we are failing in integral yoga to become something very common is, we are not integrating it. We are allowing those who talk about Hatha Yoga to pay exorbitant prices and for a very little price. Don't do that. You tell them, you need not do that. Then what are we supposed to do as a sadhakas of a synthesized yoga, where Hatha Yoga is also synthesized? Now, you try to understand what I mean by asana. A man has no job. Suddenly, he gets a job and sits in the chair of a collector. And now what happens? He gets power. Why? Because he is sitting in a collector's asana. A chief minister, if he is not a chief minister, that means if he is not sitting in that asana, your physical pose cannot become an asana for the divine. That is what is meant by asana in Hatha Yoga. And are we practicing it? Are we understanding it? When we say the lotus pose, and you say you need not sit in a lotus pose. You have to, because a lotus pose is the pose where you can be achyuta. Just as the lotus grows in mud, grows in water, but always goes towards the supramental light, a symbol of supramental layer, that is the symbol of supramental descent. And that is the Padmasana he means there. You have to sit there, then only the kundalini power will move in that way. So don't sit in Padmasana and waste your time in sitting for 3 hours, in 4 hours or 5 hours. You sit in that asana, the kundalini will move in that way. And pranayama, until you can still your mind, no divine light can enter into your brain. That is what pranayama is. That is what Sri Aurobindo has shown us. 3 days of pranayama and his mind is gone. And all these revolutionary activities and the jail activities and the Pondicherry activities were all done in a stilled mind. And how to integrate with other personalities? Be still and know that you are God, Ramana Maharshi. Integration. So you just can't leave aside Ramana Maharshi and say, I am only an Aurobindonian and I want to read only Aurobindo. How much can Aurobindo write? You have to integrate it. All these masters, all these spiritual co-workers, each has his own part. So asana, pranayama. The asana is for the annamaya kosha. The pranayama is for the nervous system. And the nervous system, kundalini flows. Kundalini is a material force, you remember it. Just like a nuclear force. And as nuclear force is most dangerous, kundalini force is also most dangerous. And some people tell me, if it is so dangerous, we will not practice it. Then I say, don't have electricity in your house. It is very dangerous. But you have electricity in your house because you know how to protect yourself. Is it not? So here, the asana and pranayama are the protective sheets for kundalini. And you don't say, I don't want kundalini, because some scientific researchers have shown that kundalini travels at a speed more than 3 times of light. And can you understand what it means by moving 3 times faster than light? We can go back in time. And why do you want to go back in time? So that the entire past evolution can be condensed in a few days. 9 days is enough for asana and pranayamas, and that is where the Navaratris come. And what use we are putting these Navaratris? If we are sincere, and this Navaratri was in between 2 eclipses. And being yogis, and we don't know the importance of an eclipse. Why I am talking this is, there is no use in rushing and finishing something. But if you can understand that a lunar eclipse is very important for the Ida, Kundalini force. Luna means moon, Ida. And solar eclipse for the Pingala. And we missed a beautiful opportunity when it in a gap of 15 days only, we had a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse. And do we have a right to say we know about yoga without knowing what is Kundalini and what is Ida and Pingala? And this is basic, because the Annamaya and Pranamaya koshas are already perfected. And because they are perfected, the flow of Kundalini you can take up very easily. Very easily. Because you have a perfect Annamaya kosha and a perfect Pranamaya kosha. Asanas for Annamaya kosha, pranayama for Kundalini kosha. Now, Hatha Yoga therefore seeks to rectify nature and establish another equilibrium by which the physical frame will be able to sustain the inrush of an increasing vital or dynamic force of prana, indefinite, almost infinite in its quality or intensity. The difference between Sri Aurobindo and Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, because his Annamaya kosha was not functioning properly. You know about Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, his digestive system was not correct. I'm not blaming him, because he couldn't withstand the inrush of an increasing vital dynamic force. And now Sri Aurobindo, he is prepared to bring down the supramind also. Forget about Kundalini, the most material force. You understand where the asana and pranayama are very important? And now, in coming February, there is going to be a lunar eclipse. Be prepared for it. Probably by that time we can have a Mahabharata, which is already there in the supramental level, worked by Sri Aurobindo. What you have to do is to bring it down. How can you bring it down? First practice this. Practice Padmasana.
February, 29th February.
You see that coincidence? The coincidences are there. And the time probably has come, we are discussing it. But be prepared, just wishing it. Jnana Yoga is not enough. There must be a heart to work for it, and an action, Karma Yoga, to lead there. So practice Padmasana, and then Shavasana. And don't say, Shavasana is not an asana. Many people think that Shavasana is the easiest, but it is the most difficult, because you have to relax yourself completely. Can you? So these two you practice. You can practice Shavasana when you are going to sleep. And if you can contact the Bihar School of Yoga, you can learn the Yoga Nidra. And Yoga Nidra is stilling of the mind. And until and unless the mind is stilled, the overmind cannot come. And until the overmind comes, the supermind cannot come. So you have to practice all these things. But you can synthesize them. Whenever you sit, sit cross-legged in Padmasana. Whenever you sleep, you try to relax completely. That is Hatha Yoga. Why? Your ability to sustain an increasing vital or dynamic force of prana, that is Kundalini. And there you have to read about the chakras also. You have to know about all the chakras. And then, in what way, modern terminology in websites, they call the chakra workout. How does it work? There are five groups of people who are controlling the world today. And now, we have to get the five Pandavas to enter these five fields. That work is now on, and very soon, probably within few months, you will see what I am now telling. The five Pandavas entering these five states are five classes of people. One is politicians. They are controlled by Muladhara, Prudhi, because Na Vishnu Prudhi Pate. You can't become a king without Amcha Vishnu, and Prudhi is the wife of Lord Vishnu. Muladhara Chakra. So, if you want your children to go into politics, or if you want to have a political health, you need not do anything but sit in Padmasana, let the Muladhara work. Muladhara. Sri Aurobindo has given many examples of this chakra workout in his letters, and now it is your duty to find them out. Don't ask me to do that work. Very clearly has talked about it. Politicians, Muladhara. Business people, Swadhisthana. Many people come to me and say, suddenly they have lost the earning capacity. They are losing in their business. But if they know how to work their Swadhisthana chakra, all this I am telling about Kundalini, the various levels of Kundalini. But Sri Aurobindo doesn't talk about sitting and developing Muladhara. He says, you expand the Muladhara so that the politicians are involved. How to do that? Well, that is what I am telling. That is what integral yoga is. You have to involve the politicians without they not knowing that they are being involved. And this can be done because you know that supramental powers can work also unconsciously. Unconsciously means, I am not saying, the power is unconscious. The man who is being utilized is unconscious of that power. And if you understand this principle, can't you change the politicians in 3 years? If an atom bomb falls and square miles and miles are gone to waste, cannot our group Muladhara Chakra control the politicians? You are conscious. The politicians need not know. And mind you, you are also supposed not to know. It is the super mind which has to act. You have to make your mind still. And if you say this man must work like this and think about the Mooladhara Chakra, it is dangerous. Because you are going into controlling other man, and that gives an ego sense. The Mooladhara, the same thing the Swadhisthana business people. Manipuraka, the scientist. Anahata, the actor. And of course, the Vishuddhi, the teachers. So that integration of the Kundalini Yoga, and integrate, because these five personalities control the material world. The politicians, the business people, the scientists, the actors, and probably the actors are now the dominant people. Actors in any level, TV actors or film actors, are those who act in the house also in so many levels. We are also actors, so it doesn't matter. If you act, the Anahata is active. And then the teachers, the Vishuddhi. Teachers. Teaching life. Yes. But all these are materialistically motivated, therefore you should have a material force to touch a material world, and that is Kundalini. And if you say, no, I don't want to use Kundalini, I want to the mental power, it goes off. Because their mind, five categories, Mooladhara, Mooladhara, business people, Swadhisthana, scientists, Manipuraka, Anahata, actors, teachers, actors, and then teachers. Teachers. Vishuddhi. Throat they use. No. The Ajna is for over mind. Material. That is why I am talking about Kundalini and Asana and Pranayama. And you can't influence them by thinking noble thoughts. Noble thoughts can't influence them because they don't have such type of thinking. And we want these five Pandavas. How? You integrate it, utilizing Asana and Pranayama, and start a meditation center to control these five. You need not. You need not tell them also. But what we do, we work them. That is what Aurobindo has said. He worked for the entire humanity, for the entire planet Earth, single-handed. And now can't we work in a group? Suppose there is a 200-volt battery. It generates 200 volts. But suppose 200 people with 1 volt capacity sit together, you have the result of a 200-volt battery. The only thing is, you should be connected properly. Next. After Hatha Yoga, we come to Raja Yoga. Mastery of the whole apparatus of thought and consciousness. This is what Raja Yoga says. And many people tell me, you talk about higher mind, I am not conscious of it. I don't know how to change my consciousness. I don't have an illumined mind. I don't have an intuitive mind. It is wrong. All of us have reached the level of intuitive mind. If not, you cannot understand Sri Aurobindo and cannot sit in this class. You remember that. Many people ask me, you saying like that as if you are an authority of it. I said, I am not an authority of Sri Aurobindo, but I am an authority of common sense. If few people are sitting in an intermediate class and they are attending an intermediate lecture, it means they have a right to hear that lecture. Is it wrong statement? If somebody is sitting in a BSc class and is hearing that lecture, and I on the veranda say, even though I may not be knowing about the science, that those people who are hearing it are science students. Right? And now you are sitting in an integral class integral yoga class. Naturally, at least you must have reached a level of intuitive mind. If not, you can't understand this. You will run away from this. So have the confidence that you can use the intuitive mind. But what happened at the recoiling effect? We have forgotten it. Just as Sri Krishna said to Arjuna, you have forgotten. A Jopisan, even though I am unborn, avyaya, but still I am born with my own atmamaya. Similarly, you are also born. But you have forgotten it. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna. So remember that. So Hatha Yoga you understood? And you have to practice. And if possible, next time when I come, let us start this workout of five Pandavas. For Mahabharata. Not for Mahabharata. For the real Mahabharata. There, the five Pandavas are now fighting with the elevated supramental Sri Krishna to have an Akhanda Bharat. In 3 years is more than enough, you remember. The Mahabharata was over in 18 days. And do you think you need 3 years? I am just giving 3 years so that we can train ourselves for those crucial periods. But I would be very happy if you can have that spirit that next lunar February 29th, we should have the Akhanda Bharat. So for this, what you have to do? Get five Pandavas. How do you get it? By unifying your five chakras, the pra pancha. Now, this process of unifying the chakras, the five chakras, needs a change in consciousness. How to do it? You can do it instantaneously. You can act like a father, you can act like a friend, you can act like a father-in-law. You can act like an enemy at the same time with the same group in the same place, is it not? Suppose a marriage is going on. How many consciousness changes can you have at the same instant? You will be talking to your son as a father. You will be talking to your wife as a husband. You will be talking to your brother as an younger or elder. And all these are not consciousness changes, then what? If you can have such a wide variety of consciousness changes, why can't you change your consciousness to 4 levels only? To a higher mind, to an illumined mind, to an intuitive mind, to an over mind. The only thing is, you don't know what they mean. Whenever a scientist formulates a law, it is a descent of overmind, 3 intuitive mind, 2 illumined mind. The scientist works for illumination. For example, I always give an example of cancer because the repetition of it, I hope, will make the cancer cure earlier. It is using the mind power. So I always give this example. So what the scientist is doing? He is utilizing a higher mind. What is the higher mind? Which is beyond the 5 senses. You understand? The higher mind is beyond the 5 senses. And he is trained as a scientist to record what he observes from the 5 senses, synthesize them, and get an illumination. And when it is illumined, what happens? An intuition dawns. A theory happens. And when the theory is developed into a law, it is the overmind coming in, but only fragmentary, not continuously. But if you can understand these examples in your daily life also, somewhere or other you are touching them. That is what he meant. Mastery of the whole apparatus of thought and consciousness. It fixes its eye on the chitta. That stuff of mental consciousness in which all these activities arise, and it seeks, even as Hatha Yoga with its physical material, first it is purify and tranquilize, the mind. Next slide. Now you understand what Raja Yoga is supposed to do? Just as in Hatha Yoga, by asanas you control the Annamaya Kosha, by pranayama and yoga nidra you control the vital body, through Raja Yoga you control the mind and its consciousness levels. The triple path of devotion, knowledge and works attempts the province which Raja Yoga leaves unoccupied. You remember, Raja Yoga can help you only to bring you to the various levels of consciousness, the mind. But Bhakti Yoga has nothing to do with mind. It has to do with heart, with emotions. And that emotional aspect is what is life, the heart. And then knowledge. What is knowledge? It is not the knowledge of the mind in Raja Yoga. It is the knowledge acquired by the five senses. You understand the difference? In Raja Yoga, the levels of consciousness are changing. It is a stepwise development. And here in Jnana Yoga, it is a breadthwise development, collecting more and more knowledge. You understand? Knowledge is a concentrated, is small knowledge, personal knowledge, family knowledge, social knowledge, scientific knowledge, bigger and bigger rings on the same plane. That is Jnana Yoga, on the same plane. And what we talked about, Raja Yoga, is ascending staircase. It is knowledge, but knowledge converted into consciousness. You understand the difference? And now it does not occupy with the elaborate training of the whole mental system, but seizes on certain central principles, the intellect, the heart and the will. Now you understand these three points. The Bhakti Yoga seizes the heart. And now, let me tell you one thing. If you can keep Sri Aurobindo in the brain, and mother in the heart, and speak out, this is the easiest way of supramental descent. If you can keep mother in your heart, Sri Aurobindo in your brain, and let them speak together, it is another integration. And that is what is meant by this. You speak is work. Because whatever you speak, you do it. Without speaking, you can't do it. Bring me a glass of water. A karma yoga happens. You understand? So speech is you, the sadhaka. And then the Sri Aurobindo, the intellectual part of it, the knowledge part of it, and heart, the mother aspect. This is the spirit of surrender. Can you surrender your brain to Sri Aurobindo? Can you surrender your heart to mother? And let you become a medium for them. The plus and minus, bringing out the what. This is the most excellent sadhana. It has been given in Mother's Meditations. I don't remember where she has written it. But she has not written it as you meditate on me and you meditate on Sri Aurobindo. You can meditate in that way with anyone. You can meditate on Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa here, Sharada Mata here, and you as a sadhaka. Then what is happening? The triple path. It becomes very, very easy. If you can be continuously aware of the physical presence, because in Raja Yoga, Patanjali Yoga Sutras mentions, one of the shortcuts for yoga is, you visualize the man who has realized those things and see him. That is where the worship part comes in. So if you go on looking at Sri Aurobindo and you are not studying integral yoga, there is no use. It is just like seeing a master in French language but never trying to learn French. You got the point? You see, keep Sri Aurobindo here and read. He will make you understand. Keep Mother here. Then you can understand what Sri Aurobindo meant by Ishvara and Shakti. There is a difference between Purusha and Prakriti and Ishvara and Shakti. Later I will come in the slides. Because once you understand these principles, we can just skip through. You can just very, you yourself will understand what is written there. So what is Bhakti Yoga? Welling up of the motherly power through you. What is Jnana Yoga? Understanding Sri Aurobindo. And what is Karma Yoga? Putting it in practice, what they have taught. First you utter it and then you practice it. Right? Next. The synthesis of the systems I have already explained. Raja Yoga, what it will do? Bhakti Yoga, what it will do? And one of the greatest examples of this synthesis is Ramakrishna Paramahamsa first driving straight to the divine realization and then seizing one yogic method upon another. But such an example cannot be generalized. He is an example. Next. The synthesis on some central dynamic force which is common secret of the divergent methods and capable therefore of organizing a natural selection and the combination of their varied energies and different utilities. Now, let us try to understand what Sri Aurobindo meant by the synthesis. We have talked about Raja Yoga. We have talked about Bhakti Yoga. We have talked about Jnana Yoga. And we have talked about Karma Yoga. Now we have to synthesize them. How can you synthesize anything? When you find the secret central dynamic force which is common to all. That which is common to Raja Yoga, that which is common to Bhakti Yoga, that which is common to finish the two other yogas, Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, the four yogas. What is common? Now, a very much misunderstood, misrepresented, and for many people, they don't want to hear that word also, is going to come. See what it is. A great dynamic force of nature which unifies all these four yogic systems. And what do you mean by yogic system? Do you remember? Very fast growth in evolution. Compressed growth of evolution. Remember that. And if you are practicing a yoga and you can't find a growth in evolution, it is not a yoga. You are just doing a mechanical ritual. You have to grow. And within 1 year you have to grow. If this book is really of any worth, it should change you within 1 year. But it can't change you by saying that Sri Aurobindo is great. You have to put this book where? Here, just as the engineering students keep the engineering books here. The chemist keeps chemistry here. The physicist keeps physics here. These three books you have to keep here. What three books? The synthesis of yoga, the life divine, and Savitri. And don't say I can't understand. You have to understand it. If you can compress evolution, can't you compress your ability to understand within 2 or 3 days and understand it? You can. What is required is the faith. Now, in all these yogas, the Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, the Purusha is the Lord of the Yoga. Can you understand what we mean by the Lord of the Yoga? He is the target. You want to attain that. And when you say Purusha, it is a potential energy, a static energy. It is not active. It is a witness energy. You understand what I mean by that? It witnesses, that's all. But because it is behind, everything goes on. Just like a cinema screen is there, witnessing all the cinema activities. But it does not participate in any of the activities. But remove the screen, no picture. So the Raja Yoga, the Karma Yoga, the Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga leads you to the witness consciousness. And unfortunately, all of our majority of rishis stopped there. Gita also has stopped there. Though there is a hint of supramental descent there, but it doesn't give a clue for that. There is only a hint. Now what does Sri Aurobindo say? Change the attitude of your goal of yoga from Purusha to Prakriti. That is the turnover of the entire yogic systems. That is where Sri Aurobindo completely differs with the entire humanity's yogic discovery. Because it is not the Purusha which is important. It is the Prakriti which is important. And what is Prakriti? The moulding force. It has moulded your Annamaya Kosha. It has moulded your Pranamaya Kosha. At present it is moulding your Manomaya Kosha. And in future it is going to mould your Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Koshas also. And if you are really a yogic student, next year lunar eclipse will say that you are entering the Anandamaya Kosha. And I am not joking it. If that is not the power of this yoga, let us leave this yoga. If you don't have that confidence, that faith, what Sri Aurobindo has said. And it is not Sri Aurobindo who has said it. What does it say? If you have a faith equal to a seasoned faith, you can move mountains. And I think we have a greater faith in Sri Aurobindo than that of a small faith of a Shishya. Shraddha mayoyam purushaha yo yashraddha sayevasa. If you have a faith that this book can mould you, transform you, it will. If you doubt it, it is your own doubt which is the hurdle. Next. The eventual omnipotence of tapas and the infallible fulfillment of the idea are the very foundation of all yoga. It is what I told you. Yoya Shraddha Sayevasa. What you should have? You should have a faith that what Sri Aurobindo has said about supramental descent is a fact. And then what you should do? Tapas. Now you have to work hard for that. And remember, you are trying to compress thousands of years of evolution, and you should understand what amount of tapas you have to put in. Not just by hearing a lecture. When I finish these lectures, you should do the tapas, the penance, and say, what nonsense, you tell 1 year, we will do it in 6 months. Are you going to do it? No. Sri Aurobindo and Mother will do through you if you still your mind. So don't have a plan. You don't plan. You read. You try to understand. And put the basics, asana and pranayama, and the few techniques of meditation for stilling the mind, you practice regularly. When I say practice, you practice for 2 days, and keep quiet, you won't get the result fast. So, yoya shraddha sayavisaha, if indeed our aim be only an escape from the world to God, synthesis is unnecessary. God or Purusha is one and the same. So if you want to just escape from all these worldly problems, okay, it is your decision. And maybe your soul wants it, your sight wants it, I don't know.
But that you are here, you are doomed. You can't go for God. You have to go for Tantra. I can't do, if you have elected and got a seat in electrical engineering, you can't go for medicine. You are hearing this class of synthesis of yoga and you want some liberation and mukti, you can't. Because your nature will not allow it. Next. The method we have to pursue then is to put our whole conscious being into relation and contact with the divine and to call him into transform our entire being into his. This is what I was telling. Sri Aurobindo here, mother here, express them. This is exactly what he means. This is the method about which I was telling you. The method we have to pursue then is to put our whole conscious being into relation and contact with the divine. And what more divine can you get than Sri Aurobindo and mother? The examples, the living examples. But that does not mean that you put those figures here and concentrate and see the Aurobindo's body, the eyes, and then the mother with her beautiful Maheshwari. They are okay. But what is required is, you should enter into the consciousness of mother, into the consciousness of Sri Aurobindo. And how can you? Read and let them lead you. Read and let them lead you. So this is the step, and I don't think it is very difficult to practice. The only difficult thing is to be regular. To be regular, you will forget. Try to be continuously aware of Sri Aurobindo consciousness, mother's consciousness coming out from us. Thus in a sense, God himself, here Sri Aurobindo and mother themselves, thus in a sense God himself, the real person in us, becomes the sadhaka of the sadhana as well as the master of the yoga. Next. This method translates itself into the progressive surrender of ego with its whole field and all its apparatus to the beyond ego with its vast, incalculable, but always inevitable workings. Certainly, there is no shortcut or easy sadhana. It requires a colossal faith, an absolute courage, and above all, an unflinching patience. We stop here. So tomorrow, we will finish the entire Karma Yoga. Now that you have understood what Karma Yoga is, the basic of Karma Yoga is, you should be free from Annamaya Kosha, free from Pranamaya Kosha, free from Manomaya Kosha, and free from ego, and do the work. This in short is the yoga of work, which we will do tomorrow. So tomorrow be prepared for the 13 chapters of the Yoga of Divine Works, and day after tomorrow the Yoga of Integral Knowledge. You read it so that I can finish it off easily.